KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8:05, it's clear and 34 degrees in Atlantic. We look forward to be partly cloudy here today. High of 56, winds east, southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Partly cloudy tonight with a low of 26, and partly cloudy tomorrow, a high around 50. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The Cass County Sheriff's Office reports a woman from Council Bluffs was arrested on numerous charges Tuesday. 33-year-old Lisa Marie Seibert was arrested on a charge of OWI first offense, possession of methamphetamine first offense, and possession of Adderall first offense. She was taken to the Cass County Jail and released the following day on $1,000 bond. And on February 27th, Cass County deputies arrested 31-year-old Brady J. Murphy of Anita for OWI first offense. Murphy was brought to the Cass County Jail and released the following day on his own recognizance. Deputies responded to an accident last Saturday on Main Street in Griswold, a collision between a 2011 Chevy Traverse, owned and driven by 32-year-old Jessica Lee Shoemake of Hastings, and a 2018 Jeep Cherokee, owned and driven by 23-year-old Allison Leanne Watson of New Virginia, happened at around 1:30 p.m. as the Traverse was backing out of a parking space on Main Street. The vehicle struck on the driver's side rear by the westbound Cherokee. There were no injuries reported. Damage amounted to $3,500 for the Chevy and $4,500 for the Jeep. Officials with the Southwest Iowa Planning Council report the organization has signed economic development partnership agreements with local economic development groups to provide outreach, technical services, loan assistance, and recovery planning to help businesses and local governments recover from the COVID-19 pandemic. In total, SWPCO is providing $180,000 to support the efforts. The local partners include the Cass Atlantic Development Corporation and Atlantic, $30,000, Clarinda Economic Development and Eastern Page County, $15,000, Harrison County Development Corporation, $30,000. Montgomery County Development Corporation, $30,000. Shelby County Chamber of Commerce and Industry, $30,000. And Shenandoah Chamber and Industry Association in Western Page and Fremont Counties, $45,000. Economic Development Partnership Agreement. CADCO Executive Director Jennifer McIntaffer says Cass Atlantic Development Corporation is excited to partner with SWPCO, offering assistance to business recovery from the COVID-19 pandemic. It is our mission, she said, to reach out to area businesses to assist in any way we can. She asked you to feel free to contact their office at 14 West 6th Street in Atlantic, or at 712-243-2022, or by email, jencadco@metc.net. Now, in addition, SWPCO has announced a COVID-19 Recovery Revolving Loan Fund, or RLF, to help businesses in Cass, Fremont, Harrison, Montgomery, Page, and Shelby counties recover from the effects of the pandemic. The $500,000 revolving loan fund will support businesses by serving as an important tool in rebuilding the region's overall economy, especially when commercial financing is unavailable. SWPCO's RLF funds may also be combined with other government programs. Furthermore, they may be used to leverage necessary financing from local lending institutions. Because of the pandemic, special loan terms are available as low as 0% interest and loan repayments, loan payment deferrals, for up to a year. The intent of the COVID fund is to provide flexibility to meet emerging recovery trends with loan amounts that range from a minimum of $10,000 to as much as $150,000. Borrowers may use the money for working capital, inventory, and asset purchases such as machinery, equipment, furniture, and fixtures. Loans will be made until June 30th, 2022. The loan terms shall not exceed 10 years for any given loan. The Economic Development Partnership Program and the COVID RLF are both funded through the CARES Act grant agreement with the U.S. Department of Commerce and Economic Development Administration. For more information about the COVID-19 Loan Fund, go to SWPCO's website at www.swipco.org. The University of Iowa reports climate change with the record flooding of the Mississippi and Missouri rivers that waterlogged Iowa in the spring of 2019. It links to that change. Gabrielle Villarini, a professor of civil and environmental engineering and the lead author of the report, says weather phenomena he calls Midwest water hose is a concentrated amount of water affecting a specific location. And he says that if they bring a lot of moisture from the Gulf of Mexico, Villarini says, and this moisture is transported through the narrow region across the plains and then becomes the precipitation with all the implications that we've been experiencing. Also, the total precipitation in the first 5 months of 2019 was the highest since 1980, and the flooding brought destruction to communities and crops on Iowa's eastern and western borders. Villarini, who is director of the IIHR Hydro Science and Engineering at the U of I, says severe flooding is becoming more frequent, especially in the past 50 to 75 years. conditions, he says, that we've been experiencing in the recent years, with more frequent flooding and alerts and warnings, and impacts might become more the norm than the exception, Villarini says, and unless we try to actively curb the impacts of climate change. He acknowledges that climate change is a polarizing topic, and he's concentrating on the science and not the politics. Greenhouse gases, he said, have led to more frequent Midwest water hose events, and those events are responsible for more precipitation, and that precipitation, of course, leads to more flooding. Those water hose events bring moisture from the Gulf of Mexico to the Midwest as heavy rainfall, which he says was responsible for more than 70% of the total precipitation across most of the central U.S. during the first half of 2019. The U of I report says rising greenhouse gas concentrations caused by human activity are bringing more heavy rainfall events tied to the Midwest water hose, and they're beyond what can be attributed to natural changes in the climate. Also in the news, for the first time since they started tracking the data, the Better Business Bureau says more young people are getting scammed than older Americans. The Bureau's Bao Vang said consumers between the ages of 18 and 24 suffered the highest median losses, about $150, to scams last year. Before 2020, Vang said older age groups consistently lost more money to con artists.
More than 46,000 reports were submitted into Scam Tracker in 2020. That's a 25% increase from the previous year.
Scams related to pets and also to PPE spiked during the pandemic, although Vang says they weren't the worst categories.
The number one riskiest scam for consumers was online purchase scams. Perhaps that's no surprise to some. That's because the COVID-19 crisis shut down many stores, people were home, and also spending more time online.
Online purchase scams made up for just over 38% of all scam reports. For more news online at KJAN.com, I'm Rick Hansen, KJAN News.